así de...
These are the names of the Bnei Yisrael that came to Mitzrayim. Eif Yaakov, with Yaakov, Ish u'beisei bo. Every man and his family came. Question is, the Eila Shemais Bnei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayim, or the word Shemais l'chayr is extra. Could have said, the Eila Bnei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayim. Why did it have to say, the Eila Shemais Bnei Yisrael haboim Mitzrayim? So the Baal HaTurim says that it's a remez to look at the names of the Bnei Yisrael. Even though they were born Mitzrayim, but their names remained the Kedusha. That was one of the things that they kept, even though they were in the land of Tumah, but the names did not change. So the Eila Shemais, there's an accent put on the Shemais that the names of the Bnei Yisrael remain the same. The name is the essence of a person. It touches up the essence of a person. So even though they were in the Tumah of Mitzrayim, and the Chitzonius might have gotten stuck to them a little bit, but their essence remained the Kedusha, and that's the universal Yeshiva, where Shimon, they did not change their names. I saw a beautiful shot from a Rav from before World War II, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Fein, say Katzadik Levrach, he's a big darshan. And he said a different shot in the Eila Shemais B'nai Yisrael. So the minig was, in those days, that they used to have certain patrolmen. They used to go around from property to property to make sure that people kept the properties neat. And if a fellow had some violations, the first time they'd give him a summons, another violation, another summons, and finally they'd have to pay a fine. If that didn't work, they used to put them in jail. There was a special jail assigned for those people that didn't keep their properties neat. So, what did people do? The fellows that had money, they used to bribe the prison warden, and they told them, listen, we'll give you money, sign us in the prison register the day that we were supposed to enter, and the day that we were supposed to leave, and we'll be under house arrest in our own houses. And that's what they used to do. So it comes out that they bet some were not in prison. Their names were in prison, in the prison register, but they bet some lived in their own homes in the comfort of their house. He said, that's the shot over here, the Eila Shemais B'nai Yisrael HaBoa Mitzrayim. The Yidden that came to Mitzrayim, only their names were in the prison register. They Be'etzim had no shaykhah to the Golas. They remained a nation apart in Goshen. They sat and learned. They maintained their regular Kedusha. But they themselves were not really in prison. Their names were in the prison register. The Eila Shemais B'nai Yisrael HaBoa Mitzrayim. But Be'etzim, they were not part of the Golas of Mitzrayim. It's very meduyik, this shot. If you look at next week's parasha, when the Torah is miyaches, Moshe and Aaron, so first it says, Bnei Ruven, Bnei Shimon, Bnei Levi, so the lashon of the pasuk is, the Eile, Bnei Ruven, and it mentions the sons of Ruven. Bnei Shimon, and it mentions the sons of Shimon. The Eile, Shemois, Bnei Levi. Pasuk is dafki by Bnei Levi, it says Shemais, and by Reuben and Shimon it doesn't say Shemais. The Torah is very partial. Kesheved Levi, they remained a nation apart throughout the entire Golos. They sat in the Beis Medrash, they sat in Goshen. So by them it was only Shemais Bnei Levi that were in Golos. Mashenkin by Reuben and Shimon, they already became part of the Mitzrayimic culture. So it says Veil Bnei Reuben, Veil Bnei Shimon. The Medrash tells us says, Hovon is Chakma, like, let us prepare ourselves, let us wisen up to them. Shtei Medrash, Gimel Hayu Ba'Isah Eit. There were three people involved in the Eitzah of Shivud Mitzrayim. Pari called a meeting of his advisors. Bila was there, and Eiv was there, and Yisrael was there. Bilam is the one that gave the Eitzah to be Meshavad of Bnei Yisrael. So he was killed by the sword when Moshe Rabbeinu led the charge against Midian, the Kainik Mas Midian. Bilam was killed by the sword. It says that Eiv that was quiet, he remained silent. So Eiv was punished with Yisurim. Terrible makas, terrible afflictions, lost his family, lost his house, lost his parnasa, and he became afflicted with disease. Yisrael, that walked out in protest, so he was zayche, first of all, his grandson Pinchas was a kohen, he was zayche that his descendants, they sat for Lishkas Hagozes, they were on the bez, they were on the Sanhedrin. So first of all, you have to understand, what was the mida keneged mida for Eiv? Eiv was silent, so he was midah and be Yisurim. He got Yisurim. Where's the mida keneged mida? He didn't say anything. He wasn't part of the Eitzah. So why should he be needing to be Yisurim? And if he should, so what is the Mida Kenegiv Mida? So the Briska Rav says, I'm already the Kipshat. There was a Maisa Shahaya with the Briska Rav. It was a terrible parasha in Eretz Yisrael in the late 40s with Yaldei Tehran. There were children that were refugees from World War II from a Yiddish Kinderlach. And the State of Israel, they took them. They brought them to Tehran and Iran. They tried shmadding them up, cutting off their payas, feeding them targets, and ripping them away from Yiddishkeit. Never, a lot of kids were lost in that. The Briska Rav B'Shas Maisi called an asifa of Askonim. He was screaming, and crying, and mamish, it was a chash for his health. So Rav Moshe Blau, who was the head of Agudas Yisrael afterwards, told the Briska Rav, you know, the Rav has to watch it. Why is the Rav screaming and crying? It's not going to bring the Yeshua anyway. It's not good for his health. So the Rav said, whether it'll help or whether it won't help, if something is painful, you scream. Whether it helps or not, that's a mitzvah. When you're in pain, you scream out in agony. And he touched up, that was the time over here on Eiv. Eiv obviously had a teretz why he didn't protest, because he saw that Pare was very much, you know, gung-ho on the Eitzah, and Bilam had tremendous influence with Pare, so he figured, you know, I'm not going to say anything because nothing's going to help anyway, so he remained silent. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you remain silent, even if it wouldn't have helped. Oh, but if it really would have bothered you, you would have screamed out in pain. Take a look at Yisur right now. You're in pain and you're screaming out. What good does your screaming out help? The Terence is, when someone is in pain, they scream out. Had you been in pain when they came up with this answer, you most definitely would have screamed out in pain, whether it helps or not. I said, to face right. That was the time on Eve. Your Chaim Shmulevitz asks a different question. You were to compare the Avva of Bilam and Eiv. Bilam is the one that gave the Eitzah. He said, Bilam deserves a much worse punishment. Well, Bilam was killed. That was instantaneous. He was killed with the Cherub. And Eiv had to go through Yisurim. Yisurim is much worse than being killed. The Gemara says, Ilun Abdul Hanani Mishov Azariah. If they would have tortured Hanani Mishov Azariah instead of pushing them into the furnace, they wouldn't be able to take it. They would have bowed down to the Tzavah. See, Yisurim is kosher from death. So, Ibazari, good. So, Hashem wanted to teach him a lesson. But why does he deserve an Einish that is worse than that of Bilam? Chaim Shmulevitz is a Mari the Kizach. Hanani Yisurim is kosher. And people can't withstand the Yisurim. But as long as a person is alive, he could always stag, he could always better himself, he could always be fruitful, he could always do gewaltige Gezachen. As far as the punishment goes, death is the worst punishment. Death is final. After death, there's nothing that a person could accomplish. Yisurim is not much more painful. But as far as the ultimate punishment, death is the ultimate punishment. Because once a person dies, that's it. Can't shy, can't accomplish anything else. I shank it if a person's in Yisurim. It's not terrible. Over as long as he's alive, he can still move on. Pasuk in Eicha says, "Ma'is einin odom chai." What should a person that's alive complain about? As long as a person is alive, with all of the troubles, with all of the hardships, but if he's alive, he can stay and he can accomplish. That's a merit thing. The Medrash says that Avraham Avinu was given a choice for his children: either they should suffer in Gehenna terribly, and that's going to cleanse them of their aveiros, or they should go into Golis. And Avraham Avinu chose that they should go into Golis. And even if it means being in Golis hundreds of years, or thousands of years, he chose Golis over going to Gehenna. And that's the shot that, well, when the Torah considers Me'emek Hebron, Ayavi Me'emek Hebron, came from Emek Hebron by Yosef, it says, Emek Hebron from the Emek of Yosef Tzadi that was buried in Hebron, Avraham Avinu chose Golis over Gehenna. Why? Gehenna is death. Gehenna is death. What are you going to accomplish in Gehenna? But as long as a person's in Golis, as long as he's alive, even if he suffers and it's a terrible, terrible Golis, Avraham Avinu came. The Yochid inside the cloud, they study, they become bigger, they're Ma'arbe Torah, they're Ma'arbe Chesed, they teach the world how to live. As long as a person's alive, by Yisraelin Odom Chai. David HaMelech says, Yasser Yisraelin Yikor, Abim Alam Abbas Lein Nisanan. Who can give you surin? As long as he doesn't place me, he doesn't kill me, as long as a person's alive, he can study. There was a Ma'arbe Kemaisa. I'm not going to go through the whole story right now. I just want to bring out one nekuda of the story. Years back in Europe, there was a thing called the Dybbuk, where a wandering neshama that couldn't find menucha, they wouldn't allow him to Gan Eden, they wouldn't even allow him to Gehenna. And a wandering neshama somehow, you know, takes his place within a person, and a foreign voice would come out of the person, terribly torturous for the person. So one woman, the Dybbuk, entered her, and they took her to a makubal by the name of Rav Mendel. And he was communicating with this Dybbuk. He asked the Dybbuk, "Why did you enter this room?" And he told her that up in Shemayim, her parents came, and they asked for Rachmanis that they should punish her because she took her husband away from learning. Speaking about the din of Shemayim, and he asked them about who are the malachim that follow you. Malachim that follow me, name them, they give me terrible yisurim. As long as I'm in this woman, you know, they're not going to give me yisurim. But the minute I leave, they hit me and almost pain me. It's terrible yisurim. So when this Rav Mendel asked the Dybbuk to leave, the Dybbuk started screaming and saying, "Nivel peh, mamish, they have to heart, mamish, hold their ears." So he asked him, "I don't understand you. You just said that there's a din v'cheshbon up in Shamayim, and they judge you. He just told us how much you suffer at the hands of the malachim. So how can you promise take the beaver? My saint of Opa? How's a shaykh?" She says, "You don't understand." He says, "The way a person is down here, that is the way he remains forever. Once a person leaves this world, he cannot change. The Mela, I told you that was the facts are the way they are. There's a mishpat, and the malachim are beating me. But as far as my midas and the way I act, I cannot change my demeanor from the way I was Mechayim. And Mechayim, this is the way I was." Once a person dies, that's final, that cannot be changed. As long as a person is alive, he makes a bracha, he davens, he learns, he gives tzedakah, he does chesed. It's difficult to live ba'olam hazeh with the yetzer hara, with kol minei ruchos ba'olam. But as long as a person's alive, he could stay. Shulei Diskin once was mevakeh chayla, a poor old lady. This lady didn't have a husband. Her husband died. She didn't have children. She was poor. She was sick. Mamish. She was bedridden the whole week. She had one sister. They used to visit her once a week and help her, take care of her. So he came to be mevakeh chayla her. So she said, "Rebbe, I want you to give me a bracha." "What bracha do you want?" He says, "Give me a bracha for Arichas Yamin." So he asks her, "Can you explain to me why you want Arichas Yamin? You know, you're bedridden, you're sick, you're poor. You know, it's so shver for you. Why do you want Arichas Yamin?" So she says, "Rebbe, why don't you understand? My sister comes once a week, and she washes me up, she cleans me, she feeds me, and once a week I'm clean. I can make a bracha.
It's not kedai to live just to be able to make a bracha to bench Hashem. Is it not kedai to have a rikus yomer? To give it a bracha, but that's a pelah v'kizach. That's mamish the epitome of yasa yisrani kor. I'm able to live. I'm able to make a bracha once a week. I'm clean. She wanted a bracha for a rikus yomer. That's the said over here by Bilam. He was needing the cherem. That's final. That's it. The way he was down here, that is the way he is up there. Cannot change. And the worst thing is when you face the truth, when you face the truth and you can't change it, that goof is a chelik of that big Gehenna. The Gemara says he sent this gift that when Uncle was Hager, before he was Megayer, he summoned some people of the past with Kishif to consult with them if he should become a Ger. So he summoned Bilam and Titus and Oysa Yish, Paisha Yisrael, Yashkin. So he asked Bilam, he says, Man Choshev Bahai Alma? Who's Choshev in Yanadal? Said Yisrael. Says, Ma'ulad Bukebu? Should I become a Yid? Says, no, Shemai for not. What's the Pshat? He just said a minute ago that the Yidin are the ones that are Choshev? And he said, not to become a Yid, the terrace is. The facts are that Klal Yisrael is the most Choshev over there. But that's a chelik of the pain. They are the most Choshev, and I still remain with my opinion of down here. No, Shemaifi, don't become a Yid. My Yisrael ain't Odom Chai. Yer Taka had Yisurim, but with his Yisurim he was able to shtay, he was able to philosophize, he was able to come to new Hakaris in the Beir Yoyama. Bilam, by him, it was final. The man with his Einish was really the worst Einish. It says, Vayimoru es chayeyem v'avoyda koshim. V'choymer u'bilveinim u'v'chol avoyda basad. They embittered their lives with hard work, with choymer, with pitch, with cement, bilveinim, with bricks, u'v'chol avoyda basad, with all work in the field. Shteyim Zayir HaKadosh B'chaymer Do Kal B'chaymer. Chaymer is referring to Kal B'chaymer. B'lveinim Bricks is referring to Libun Shmaitze Aliva De Hilchese, smoothening out the sugyas to come up with the Halakha Brura. Kal HaVayda B'asada, all work in the field, Elu HaBrises. These are the Brises. What does that mean? They embittered their lives b'chaymer, do akal b'chaymer. B'lveinim, b'yimun shmaitze, leave it to hilchas, b'chal avayda, that's all the prices. What's the connection here? So Gedalia shows that out. I saw a pshat from him. He said the following. He said, the Zayir HaKadosh is telling us over here, you know how Klal Yisrael was zeichet to be makabel the Torah at the end, b'kal b'chaymer? It was only because of the chaymer in Mitzrayim. The purpose of Golos Mitzrayim was to cleanse them, to refine them, to purify them. And that's what Yisurim does. The Yisurim of a Golos is able to do that. You want to know how they were Zaycha later on to Kal B'chaymer? It was because of the Chaymer of working hard with the cement over here. The Levenim that they worked, the hard bricks that they worked with over here, that was Zaycha later on, after Matan Torah, to leave in Shmaitz, to leave in the Hilchus. The hard work in the fields, gathering shruts and bederem bizoyim, they lowered themselves, but through the lowering themselves, they purified themselves. And the nail, they were able to be zoyche to the brises later on. The yisurim of a galus is meant for one tachlis, to purify us, not as a punishment, not stam, to as a vendetta. Lahepach is because a father loves his son. In the Hagdamah, the Sefer Shemais, the Medrash says, one that spares the rod hates his son. One that loves his son, he gives a musr, he's miyasir him. That is the Hagdamah to Sefer Shemais. That is what Golos Mitzrayim was all about. The tachlis was to lead us to Matan Torah. So b'chaymer, the hard work of the chaymer, don't call b'chaymer. Bilveinim, leaving Shmaitza, leaving the Hilchasit, B'chal Avayda Basodit led to the learning of the Brises. That's something that we ourselves in Galus have to know. We're living in a dark and bitter Galus with so many questions and so many tzaras. Does that envision that the tachlis of the Galus is to purify us, even though we don't see it? We're not able to understand how it purifies us. And we have a moon in our Kodesh Baruch Hu that it leads to our purification. Memela will be zeichet to Meridiki good things, and Meridiki Giluyim will also love it. It says in the Pasuk, that when Miriam put Moshe in a little box, in a little table, in the Nilus, and Bas Paran came, Batirtak Batir Eyu Esayel. She opened up and she saw the child. V'hinei nar boiche. Behold, a nar, a lad, was crying. Batachmai lolo, she had rachmonis on him. Batayimer, and she said, Miyaldei Orim. This is from the children of the Jews. V'hinei nar boiche. The word nar usually describes someone that's older, a teenager, someone that's even older. Yeshua nar. Well, Yomer Shmitai Kalayah, Yeshua was called a nar. Ayyasis, who nar, as Bnei Bilav, as Bnei Zilfi. You're talking about a tiny little baby, a 3-month-old baby, and he calls him a nar. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, Kailoi kenar. Agami was a little baby, but for Kailoi, his voice was strong like that of a nar. That first name, what's the pshat over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a strange baby that has a voice like an ar. What does that mean? So the Medrash elaborates on this, and the Medrash says it was derech meis. It was to get Bas Paran's attention, and being that an ar cries in a stronger way, Memele, it would cause her to have more rachmanis and to take the child in. As I state in Medrash. But I once heard a million dikipshat from Rav Meir Shapiro. What did Hashem do over here? He said there's a big difference between the voice of a little baby that cries and the voice of a more mature, you know, more mature person. A little baby cries only for itself. It needs to be fed, it needs to be diapered, it needs to be burped, it needs to be held, it needs to be, you know, you have to shake it. Cries only for itself. A tiny little baby has no idea of the tzaras of others. It doesn't cry for other people. A nar, even a young boy, already has the havana when he sees other people in pain. He's able to cry for other people as well. The Torah is telling us over here that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, even when he was a little baby, 3 months old, he was able to sense the pain of other people. Normally, a little baby that age has no shaykes to that. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, he was already able to cry like a nar, not to cry only for himself, but to cry for the pain of other people, his brothers and sisters that were in shiva. Zoyzot, Rav Meir Shapiro. Says that when Moshe Rabbeinu ran away to Midian, Vayavoyu Horoyim, the Benois Yisrael were there. The Medrash tells us that Yisrael was like put in Chayrim. They ostracized him because he was Pirish from Avodah Zarah. So when the Benois Yisrael came to water their, to give their sheep to drink, Vayavoyu Horoyim, and the shepherds came, the Midianite shepherds came, Vayigorashum, and they chased them away, Vayokar Moshe Vayoshion, and Moshe Rabbeinu got up and he saved them. And he gave to drink their sheep. So it's a pella. The pasuk mamish switches from Lashon Zachar to Lashon Nekevah, back again to Lashon Zachar. The Royim came and chased away the Bnei Midian. So the correcting Lashon should have been Vayigorshun, Lashon Nekevah. Why does it say Vayigorshun? That makes sense. He helped them with the nun. But then again, he gave to drink their tzayin. Why does it say tzayinom? So the Rush over here brings down a pshat from his father. He says the following: Vayigorshum is not going on chasing away the Bnei Yisrael. They chased away the water. What did they do? They didn't want the Bnei Yisrael to be able to water their flock, so they put up a wall where the water was coming so that the water shouldn't go through, and it went away to other sides. They chased away the water. Water is a Lashon Zachar, and you find in Psukim that, you know, diverting water is called Vayigorshum. So Vayigorshum is going on the water. When Moshe Rabbeinu came, the water came up towards him like by Yaakov Avinu. The water came up towards Yaakov Avinu. Moshe being a descendant of Yaakov, and he himself was a tzaddik, the water came up and it knocked down the walls. So when they saw that, they started chasing away the Bnei Yaakov. So, Vayishyon, Moshe Rabbeinu saved them. Vayash es tzainam. The Medrash says that Al Tzachesed, Moshe Rabbeinu also gave to drink for the shepherds, for the goyish sheep as well. And a yosh there was a chorim, so it says Vayash es tzainam. So again, Vaygorshum, they chased away the water. Water is lashon zachar. Vayoshion, Moshe Rabbeinu and the goyish shepherds chased away the Bnei Midyan. Moshe Rabbeinu saved them, the women. That's lashon nekeva. Vayashka tzainam, he gave to drink even the sheep of the Midianite shepherds, and that's lashon zachar. There's another shot that the Sefer Gan Rava says that the reason why it says over here Vayigorshum lashon zachar is because there's a Tosfos in Bava Basra that says that whenever a woman does the job of a man, she's referred to as Lashon Zachar. And a Yosh over here was not the derech for women usually to go out and take care of the sheep. And they were doing the job of a man. So shtey vayavayu arayim vayigarshum Lashon Zachar. Vayokam Moshe vayoshiyah. Why did he have to help them? Because they were women. They couldn't stick up for themselves. So then they were acting like women. Vayoshiyon is washing the cave. Vayash es tzainam. He ties it like you said before. The Medrash says he also gave to drink to the men. Vayash es tzainam. That is a lashon zachar. Koyamah Hashem. Dini b'chayri Yisrael. So said Hashem, my son, my Bechor is Klal Yisrael. What is the dimi between a Bechor and Klal Yisrael? A Bechor is L'chayr, the child that's born first. Klal Yisrael wasn't the first developed nation. There were nations that were developed before Klal Yisrael. If anything, Klal Yisrael is one of the last. So what's the pshat, dini Bechor Yisrael? The Vilna Gaon says that the reason why a Bechor gets Pishnayim, he gets two Chalokim in the Nachla, whereas everybody else gets one, is there something special that the Bechor did? He turned his parents into parents. Before he was born, they were not parents. He is the firstborn. He is the one that gave them the shame of the aim. Memeva, that is why he gets Pishnayim. The belt says over, jokingly, but perhaps there's a truth to it, because the parents made all the mistakes on the first child. Memeva, he gets Pishnayim. But the heaven says, Zachtegra, that the reason why his son gets Pishnayim, the firstborn, because he is the one that turned them into an Av. This is why the Bnei Yisrael are called Bnei Bechayri Yisrael. Until Klal Yisrael came along, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not called an Av. Because nobody was Makar HaKadosh Baruch Hu's an Av. Nobody was Makar HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the one that runs the universe. But Klal Yisrael, they are the nation that does the Dvar Hashem. They learn Torah, they keep the mitzvahs, they do chesed, and they spread the word of Hashem to the rest of the world. So they turned HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the Av, into the Father of this world. The middle they are called Bnei Bechayri Yisrael. Even by the Goyim, they say that America is built on Judeo-Christian values. That's the way America was formed. Where did the Christians get it from? They got it obviously from the Yidden. They're also mighty that the Yidden came first. The Old Testament came first. So which nation is the one that taught the world the way to act and the way to handle? And the Dvar Hashem, that is a Bairi Yoylam, that is Klal Yisrael. Koyamar Hashem, Bini B'chayri Yisrael. One final word from the Chafetz Chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Shal mi olecho, me'al rak lecho, ki hamokim asher ata oimid olov, ad meshkei bishu. Remove your shoes, because the ground on which you're standing is ad meshkei bishu. Zok to Chafetz Chaim. A lot of times people, they have an opportunity to learn, opportunity to do a mitzvah, and they say, yeah, it's difficult for me now, no. Now I'm busy with this, I'm busy with that. Well, come a time, I'll do it later on when there's a more opportune moment. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Shal mi'olecha mi'al raglecha, remove all the barriers from your doing the mitzvah. Ki amoka masher ato emet olel ad maskeidishu. Right now, the way you're standing in your matzah right now, this is the opportunity to utilize the time for Yom Kiddusha. Don't push it off to a different time. As Chazal say, Baal Taimer kisha efne eshne. Don't say, well, I'll have a better opportunity, I'll learn then. Shemalei tipana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, now is the time to remove all barriers, remove the na'alayim, remove the dvarim hamafsikim, ki amokim hasha'at, ha'imir Allah, atmas
Chodesh, this is the time, this is the place, now's the time that you have to act. Don't delay. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.